Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, to be honest with you, WrestleMania is not really shaping up to be all that stupendous. Now, I know that Vince McMahon had went on the Pat McAfee show and said, you know, the word stupendous just came to me. It's a word that's not used very much. It's a word that a lot of people really don't understand the meaning of. And because of that, I thought it would be catchy and it would be a word that would stick in people's minds. Here's the problem when you use a word like stupendous. You have to deliver. I think Vince McMahon is wrong when he says, well, most people don't know what the word stupendous means. I think they do. Stupendous is leaving one stupefied with awe. I don't see this as a good tagline for WrestleMania. They've touted the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match as the greatest match in the history of WrestleMania. That's simply not true, folks. You see, you can say anything you want, but fans know better. And if it doesn't feel stupendous, it doesn't matter if you call it stupendous. If it doesn't feel like the greatest match in WrestleMania history, it doesn't matter if you say it is. We live in a little bit of a weird society, folks, where people think if you say something and you say it enough, that people will just believe it. Doesn't matter what it is. And I guess that attitude has caught on to professional wrestling now, and they just figure, well, if we say it's the greatest, most stupendous WrestleMania of all time, and that this is the greatest WrestleMania match of all time, people will say, I guess it is. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. The buildup for WrestleMania this year is among the worst I've seen. It really is. It's among the worst I've seen. Very little attention to detail. Very little attention to logic. Way too much what I would call hype and no substance. And I believe it's going to come back to bite them in the ass. I really do. So we're going to be talking about WrestleMania. We'll talk a little bit about SmackDown, too, a little later. And our thoughts on that, as well as some other things. Let me just start with this. Bianca Belair reportedly is injured. Now, I'm going to bet you that that is a work. I'm going to bet you that she's not really injured. But if she is, for argument's sake, and the word is undisclosed amount of time, if she really is injured, maybe enough to not be in WrestleMania, you got a big problem. You have a gigantic problem. Not because that was the match everyone was most looking forward to, but because you don't even have a qualified backup contender. I guess you could rush Asuka in there. But that would be about it. And this is all your own fault. These are unforced errors that the WWE has placed upon themselves because they have absolutely no forethought into what's going to be happening. Now, like I said, I'm about 90% sure the Bianca Belair injury is actually a work and everything should be fine. But we'll see. But it does make a very good point as to what would happen if it wasn't. We still have a couple of Raws and a couple of SmackDowns to go. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, I don't know, Charlotte Flair gets hurt, Ronda Rousey gets hurt, Becky Lynch gets hurt, Edge gets hurt, AJ Styles gets hurt, what's your backup? I guarantee you don't have one. I guarantee you don't have one. Now, you could say that about any WrestleMania, I guess, but the bottom line of the situation is a lot of the WrestleManias were stacked with so many important matches that if one match really did have to be delayed or postponed, you still had a lot of main event type matches that people were anxious to see. I've been doing an awful lot of asking around, and the only match that really anybody is interested in WrestleMania at this stage of the game, yeah, I get a few people saying this one or that one. The only one people are really hanging their hats on is Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, and they're not even that thrilled about that one because they think the WWE dropped the ball on the buildup, which we'll talk about a little bit coming up. But first, let's just talk about some of the undercard matches of WrestleMania. Is there really a buildup that is legit to, let's say, Baron Corbin versus Drew McIntyre? Is there a legitimate buildup to that? Oh, Happy Corbin's undefeated. He's not, folks. Again, you just say it and hope people think it's true. Okay, since he became Happy Corbin, he hasn't been beaten. But how many times have we seen Baron Corbin lose? Is it going to be special if Drew McIntyre beats Baron Corbin? No. So, be honest. Does that just feel like a glorified television match? Yes, it does. There's no build-up there. Now, you could have had a build-up. Other than stealing his sword, which is not a good enough build-up, he got it right back. You could have had a build-up. I mean, you could have at least tried. You could have had a storyline going where Happy Corbin is saying, look, I'm undefeated and I've got, I got big money riding on me in Vegas. You can bet on pro wrestling now, and I'm an undefeated commodity. And I'm putting my money on me because I know I can beat Drew McIntyre. And you could have then had Madcap Moss say, you're going to put all of your money? That's what made you Happy Corbin in the first place, is you won in a huge amount. You're gonna risk all that on one match where anything could happen? It's not a great bet. At least you would have had something there where you said, he's not going to be Happy Corbin after this, I guess, if he loses. Or maybe he is going to win somehow. I mean, you could have had Moss say, there's a lot of money on you. If you don't win, there's going to be a lot of people unhappy. Better take that into consideration. Then at least you say, maybe they're going to send some, maybe we got somebody else coming in to make ensure that Drew McIntyre doesn't win. Maybe Corbin is going to win. Something's going to happen. At least there's a branch on a tree if something's up. No, there's nothing here except, I'm undefeated. There's no one excited about this match. Drew McIntyre's went from being the main event of WrestleMania to a side match that I don't know anyone who cares about. Now, Drew McIntyre is a very, very good professional wrestler. And he's very good on the mic. And Happy Corbin, believe me, Baron Corbin's done everything that they've wanted him to do. It's neither one of those two's fault. I want people to understand that very clearly. It's not either one of those two people's fault. You could have made this match count. You could have made this match matter. You made the fans want this match. You chose not to do that. You chose to take time and give it to other things and not really make a good build-up for this match. So now we're left with this one match we'll talk about first, Mike, that people just feel is it's a glorified television match, really.
Right, And here's something else they missed with this whole thing, with the Baron Corbin thing. They steal the sword, right? Right? So the logical next step, well, one of the logical next steps would be having them at a foundry and tossing that sword, which apparently means a lot to, in storyline, means a lot to him because it's named after his mother, you know, tossing that sword into the fire and melting it down.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. I mean, you could have played that thing up as him being angry about the sword. Yeah, it's not for a title, but it's a thing of pride in storyline. It's a thing of pride with him. I mean, yeah, his friend Sheamus is a bad guy right now, but wasn't Sheamus the one that gave him the sword? And then.
Right.
You could have actually had Sheamus come in there to Happy Corbin at one point after he melted the sword down and said, look, I may not be in agreeing with Drew McIntyre right now, but you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of things you could have done. I would have loved for them to further this angle of the gambling thing where he literally says, well, I've bet my entire fortune on myself. I'm undefeated. I'm on the streak of my life. Everything I touch, I'm a winner. So naturally I did. And then if you had Madcap Moss saying, that's an awfully risky bet to take. If you lose, you're back to nothing. You know, you would have had something there. You would have said, well, okay, something's going to happen. Even if Corbin loses, which we think he's going to, there's going to be another angle coming out of WrestleMania involving what now with Corbin because he's lost everything again. Now it's just going to be like, okay, so I've lost once, big deal. He cheated. I still feel like I'm undefeated, and I'm still happy Corbin. And there's nothing coming out of this. It's a glorified television match. It was never properly built. There doesn't seem to be any legit anger because what you did have them do, you had them do too long ago. And there's just nothing to the build. There's just nothing to this build, Todd. It doesn't feel like an important match in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is match don't feel important. Like they're supposed to be feel like it's important between Corbin and McIntyre here. You know, it's a shame they moved McIntyre from main eventer to mid-card or maybe lower mid-card. It's just sad, and it's a shame right there as well.
It's – what's the proper way to say it? It's laziness. It's just sheer laziness on the part of the WWE. They just don't seem to be able to get it together to promote more than one match at a time. It's really weird. It's almost like, I don't know. It's almost like their attention span. They accuse the audience of having a very small attention span. I got news. It's like they do. It's, oh, well, we have to build Roman and we have to build Brock. Well, I got news. Roman and Brock kind of build themselves. You need to build some others. Now, you didn't do that bad a job with, I'll tell you, we'll talk about this a little later. You didn't do that bad a job with Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. And I'll tell you why this is important and how people eventually, I guess, woke up. But we'll get to that when we talk a little bit about SmackDown. So you got Ronda and Charlotte. I guess that's okay. Some people would say, okay, you did that too with Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch. Yeah, to a degree you did. But those matches, irregardless, while they may feel like WrestleMania matches, they could have been made to feel a little more important. There's a build-up, an adequate build-up, but I don't think it's a great build-up, just an adequate build-up. And after that, the bottom falls out. And it literally becomes throw somebody together. It's like a lottery, you and you, you and you. Oh, wait a minute, how many tag teams do we have? Throw them all in the mix, and we'll have a four-team tag team match. How many people do we have over here? Throw them in a six-man. Throw this together. Throw that together. That's what it feels like. It feels like it was thrown together. And then to dare give it the moniker of the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time. You got Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan. You got Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior. You got the Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage with their career on the line. I could go on and on and on and on about matches that were well more important than any of these, than any of them. And your main event is predicated upon blood for blood, not the title. I'm so against that. Any federation, I don't care who you are, any federation, the top guys should be centrally focused on being a champion, being the champion. Yes, you get sidetracked with feuds. Of course you do. But your ultimate goal is to be the champion. So when a guy like Brock Lesnar stumbles into the ring and says, I don't even care about the belt, well, that's fabulous. Great. Nice to know. You don't care about the belt. Okay. Well, then I don't know what to tell you. Then why do we care about you being the champion? You could have handled that well differently. You could definitely have handled it well differently. Instead, you just decided to let Brock Lesnar say the belt doesn't matter to him. Okay. Terrific. And so him having it means what to us? Doesn't feel like the title really means much. It kind of feels like it might mean something to Roman. But, Mike, it doesn't feel like it means something to Brock. And then that's a big negative.
Right, that's a big negative. And it's like you said, they're being lazy. I mean, look, we have two people with injuries that were out with injuries that apparently are ready now in Bayley and Asuka, right? Why haven't they been on TV? What if what's her name is truly injured, but Bianca Belair is truly injured and she's been injured for a couple of weeks now, wouldn't you think that before then you would have had the foresight to say, all right, Oscar, if you're ready, come in here and we'll put you in a few matches here and there and you'll win and you'll build yourself up and just in case something happens. But apparently they're too lazy to do even that.
Yeah, it's pathetic, Mike. What should have happened, you know, we can play fantasy booker. What should have happened is when Asuka was ready, which I hear was a couple of months ago. When Asuka was ready, you should have said, okay, we are going to give a big surprise to the WWE audience due to whoever's interference, maybe Bianca's. Becky Lynch losing the belt. And before Becky can get a rematch, Asuka's going to come in and win. Then Becky Lynch could then say to Asuka, I'm glad you got the belt, instead of Bianca Belair. I'm glad that no talent hypocrite didn't get the belt, and I'm glad you did. Because you remember when I handed you that belt, right? And I told you, you're the best. You're the one I want to represent while I'm gone. Well, I meant that. But now I'm not gone. I'm back. So I think you need to do the right thing and just hand me the belt. Asuka could have said, I'm handing you the belt. And she could have said, why not? I did to you. I didn't make you win it. I handed it to you. The least you could do is hand it back to me. Well, then you would have had a good feud there because Becky Lynch would have been booed, obviously, because people would have said, yeah, you handed it because you were debating that because you handed it. Asuka would have been the sympathetic character. Then Bianca Belair could have came out and said, oh, no, that's not the way it works. I've always wanted my shot at Asuka and the belt, and that's the way it's going to be. I'm supposed to be the one getting the shot at WrestleMania for the championship. If you had a three-way dance between those women, you got a big main event. That's a really solid main event. Bianca Belair versus Asuka versus Becky Lynch. That's a good main event, and you could build it up all kinds of ways. You could have Becky Lynch say, I handed that ungrateful woman a belt, and she wouldn't do the same to me because she doesn't respect me. So now I'm just going to beat it out of her, and I'm going to take the belt. You could have had Bianca Belair say, you know, I have all the respect in the world for Asuka, but this is my belt, and, you know, she won it in the interim, but, you know, I'm sorry. I'm coming for that belt. And of course, Asuka could have said, look, neither one of these are ready for me. I've spent some time away, yeah, but neither one of these are ready for Asuka. You would have had a very intriguing match because I'm telling you, I wouldn't know who's going to win. You could keep it on Asuka. She didn't even have to pin Becky Lynch. She could pin Bianca Belair, and it could be Becky Lynch who led to that Bianca Belair getting pinned. So really, nobody looks weaker. Or you could have had Bianca Belair pull the upset by pinning Becky Lynch, not Asuka. Or you could have had Becky pin Bianca. She's the champion, but you still got Asuka versus Becky as the main event down the road. Because Asuka could rightfully say, I lost my belt, but you didn't pin me. To which Becky Lynch could have said, well, I don't know, when the belt went around your waist, did you pin me? I didn't hear you complaining about that. So now you're going to tell me I'm not a champion because I didn't pin you. So that means you weren't a champion because you didn't pin me. There's so much you could have done with that, Mike. Instead, what do we get? We get this match based upon Becky Lynch supposedly being afraid to fight Bianca Belair when she actually beat Bianca Belair in 42 seconds.
Right, and that's the thing. And think about this. There's another possible branch on that three-way tree. At the end of that three-way match, or somewhere during the match, you could have talked about Bianca Belair and that whole gimmick as her bragging as being sort of a heel gimmick. You could flip her very easily and have two really strong heels. Keep Asuka face, because for now at least, Asuka is such a ebullient, bubbly personality that it's going to be hard for them to get her to be booed. You know, they're working like dogs to get Becky booed, and it's going to be even harder for them to get Asuka booed, especially with Asuka coming off an injury.
Right. Well, you're right, because if they turned Bianca Belair during that match at some point, you could have had it being based on her being jealous and just saying, I don't care what anybody says. I'm still the best. I'm still the fastest, the toughest, the strongest. And, you know, people could have said, well, she's jealous of Asuka. Asuka's come back, and Asuka's, I don't know if she's better than Asuka in some of those categories. She might be stronger. I don't know if I don't think she's better, a better athlete, and I'm not sure she's a better wrestler. You know, there were things that you could have built that up around. There's so many branches you could have put on that tree. Now we got a one-trick pony. Does Bianca Belair win an Avenger loss at WrestleMania? Does Becky Lynch continue her title reign? That's it. That's it. It's a tree without branches. Now let's go to the Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey thing. Let me talk a little bit about this because I think they've done a better job. Someone, and I'd love to know who that someone is, got into Ronda Rousey's head and said, if you don't start looking like you are going to have major problems with Charlotte, if you don't start showing a little bit of weakness, you're going to get booed. You're going to get booed. Because if your attitude is, yeah, big deal, Charlotte Flair ain't nothing compared to me. I'm an MMA fighter, and I'm the toughest and the best, and who cares about her? People don't root for people like that. As a rule, they don't root for people like that. You're coming into their world and basically making fun of them then, saying, professional wrestler. I'm an MMA champion. I don't sweat these phonies. That's kind of what it feels like. So somebody got in Ronda's ear and said, hey, for the next couple of weeks, you're getting your ass kicked. Legit getting your ass kicked. Not fighting back, not standing strong at the end. You're the one laying. And she did it. And by doing that, she's gotten the fan sympathy. Charlotte Flair has looked strong 2 weeks in a row, beating the hell out of Ronda Rousey, to submitting her. So someone did the right thing there. Someone got to Ronda and said, it's time for you to sell. That you're not, you know, with a flick of your finger, you could eradicate the whole women's division. And finally she is. Now, I'd have taken it a step farther. I really would have. I'd have done this weeks ago. You still got time, though. You still got time to shoot an interview with Ronda Rousey saying, you know, for the first time in my life, I would walk into that octagon supremely confident. Supremely confident. And I used to walk into this wrestling ring supremely confident. And I don't know anymore. Maybe I don't have what it takes right now. I've been left laying twice in a row by Charlotte Flair. Someone I know that a few years ago I would have walked into that ring supremely confident in my ability to beat her. And now I have voices in my head saying, can you do it? And I'm not, I don't know if I can. All I'm going to tell you is I'm going to do the best I can. And whether I win or whether I lose, Charlotte Flair's going to know she's been in a fight. People would love that because they'd say, okay, well, now Ronda's not the braggadocious, I'm better than everybody in the world. You could even have, you know, one of her so-called, quote-unquote, face friends. Wasn't it Naomi who was supposed to be her friend? Come over there and really psych her up and tell her you're still that same Ronda Rousey. If you go out there with one speck of doubt in your mind, Charlotte Flair is going to beat you. Because that's what she does the best. She puts that doubt in your mind until you doubt yourself, and she takes advantage of it, and now she's got you to do it. You got to be the old Ronda Rousey. People would love it. You still got time to do it. But if she just goes out there like somebody farted and she's trying to avoid the smell, which is what she looks like when she comes out, I got news for you. Nobody's rooting for her. People will root for the person they think is being humble and facing an uphill battle. It never feels that way with Ronda Rousey. It always feels like, oh, I have to waste my time on such lesser people. Charlotte Flair's the champion, but, I mean, if I show up, she's nothing more than enhancement talent compared to me. You got to stop that. And to their credit, Mike, they're starting to stop it a little bit, and they're starting to show that Charlotte is a physical match for Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, and think about this. Here's the deal. We know who's been with Charlotte, you know, who's been kind of her sidekick, and that's Sonya Deville, right?
Right.
You know, and we know, and I believe Shayna Baszler is on SmackDown, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. You could have had Shayna Baszler at some point come in there and say, hey, look, I know you think you can beat her, but I've had my problems with Charlotte Flair, and you know who I am, you know? And so, I mean, yeah, that would have maybe turned her, kind of flipped Shayna, you know, kind of, flip them maybe not all the way face, but maybe in that gray area. But it would have fit. It would have fit because Shayna – and look, I still maintain this. They could still – now, one of them is already signed with AEW, but if they hadn't fired Jessamyn Duke and the other girl, what's her name? I'm blanking on her name right now. The other two full horsemen, they could have absolutely done that thing. They could have flipped. They could have flipped her. Could have flipped what you call. Could have flipped Ronda Rousey and had them beat the hell out of Charlotte Flair. You know.
Yeah. Look, I'm for anything. that's just not a dead-end angle. But here's what you got to understand. These are all like dead-end angles. It's like, okay, if Becky wins, fine, she's still the champion. If we get a new champion, fine, Bianca Belair is the champion. There's no, what's the gimmick? There's nothing left. That's it. It's just a dead-end gimmick. It's the same thing with Charlotte and Ronda. Ronda wins, and she's a champion, I guess. So, okay. But there's got to be something else there. There's got to be something else there. And I just don't know if the WWE has any plans to do something else. It's almost like they just say, no, this is, we're just bringing everything to an end. Now, if that's what you want to do, if you want to use WrestleMania as the culmination to all of your plot lines ending and starting a new season, that's fine. But then you got to build up your plot lines. There's no plot lines built up. There's one. There's just one. Really. You could argue there's two, but I mean, very weakly built up. Now let's go on to the Edge thing with AJ Styles. We've said it before, so let's say it again. Give me the reason that Edge turned heel. He turned heel because fill in the blank. Well, here's what the WWE wants you to believe, I guess. Edge came out and called somebody out for WrestleMania. Why Seth Rollins can't do that, I don't know. But Edge came out and called somebody out for WrestleMania, I guess expecting an easy target. And when AJ Styles came out, he got flustered of, uh-oh, I might not be able to beat AJ Styles, so I guess I'm mad that I have such a good challenger, so I'll turn heel. It doesn't make any sense. I just want to bring out the best in AJ Styles. No, you don't. Because that's not the way to do it, quite obviously. It made no sense. If you gave Seth Rollins' part to Edge, it makes sense. If Edge was saying, there's no room at WrestleMania for me, I don't have an opponent. I used to carry this federation on my back, and now I can't find an opponent because I'm not valuable enough to the company. But yet they've got all these other people. They all have WrestleMania matches, but Edge doesn't. Well, I'm going to find a WrestleMania match. Then if he turned heel based on the fact that he felt disrespected and they wouldn't give him a WrestleMania opponent, I get it. It makes a little bit of sense. What happened here doesn't make any sense at all. There is no provocation for Edge to have turned heel. Therefore, no one believes it. And therefore, it's a bad angle. And a match that I would have loved to have seen that didn't even need a heel, by the way, is ruined now. It's ruined. You could have handled this one of two ways. You could have gave Edge the Seth Rollins part of I don't have a match at WrestleMania, or you could have just had Edge do what he did, not turn heel, and both of these guys say this is a very important WrestleMania match to me. Edge could say this is the last one I may ever have. It's very, very possible this is the last WrestleMania match I'll ever have. And I want to go out beating someone I respect, and that's AJ Styles. He's one of the best in the business. If I beat AJ Styles, my legacy will be Edge left WrestleMania on the highest note of his career, and that's important to me. I put a lot into this. AJ Styles, I greatly respect Edge, and I understand that this could be his last WrestleMania match, but you know what? It could be everybody's last WrestleMania match. In the blink of an eye, your career could be gone. So I take every WrestleMania match seriously. And this is going to be, for me, the highlight of my WrestleMania career, to beat Edge. And if I do beat Edge, hopefully it's not his last WrestleMania match, but if I do and it's his last WrestleMania match, then it's my honor to have been his last opponent. You've got something good because you say, well, I don't know where they're going with this. They could have AJ lose. It's no big deal if AJ loses. They could have Edge lose. It's no big deal if Edge loses. Now you know AJ's winning. I'm not going to go all through this crap and then disrespect AJ Styles with a loss. So, you know, Todd, these are the things that bother me, and this is why I think WrestleMania is not going to be all that stupendous this year.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's been crap for the last few years, these WrestleMania pay-per-views. If I was the WWE, go back to your roots of WrestleMania. Make it exciting again. Watch old archives or matches. Back then,
It was the build-ups that did it. It was the stories leading up to it. Now you can say, well, come on, Marcus, be fair. They built up Johnny Knoxville. Okay, you built up Johnny Knoxville, but nobody's buying it. Giving it airtime is not the same thing as a build-up. You can give anything airtime. You could say, well, okay, we're giving airtime to General Aziz versus Olmos. It's not a build-up, and nobody cares. You got to make them care. Johnny Knoxville's handling this exactly the wrong way. Exactly the wrong way. What did he do? Exactly what I told you he was going to do. He gets on television and says, after everything I put my body through, you think I'm worried about Sami Zayn? So that's disrespecting wrestling. That's like saying, I'm a lot tougher than any of these wrestlers. I'm a whole lot tougher than them. He can't do anything to me I haven't already done to myself. Disrespect to wrestling. The build-up always should have been for Johnny Knoxville to say, well, I'm not a wrestler, but I'm sure I can find somebody to be in the corner of. Then if that person, for whatever reason, either gets injured, is taken out of the match somehow, they could have said to Knoxville, you're his second. You got to get in the ring. And Knoxville could have said, what are you kidding me? I'm not a professional wrestler. And then Sami Zayn could have been the one gloating, saying, boy, I can't wait. I can't wait to get my hands on Johnny Knoxville. Nothing better could have happened. Now you're going to have to put your money where your mouth is. Then people would say, oh, man, I hope Knoxville can survive this. I mean, and Knoxville has to be the guy saying, this ain't good. I put my body through a lot of stuff. I'm not a professional fighter, okay? And this guy's going to get in here. I know what he's going to try to do to me. And, yeah, this ain't good. That way, you have at least his fan base saying, oh, man, hopefully everything goes well for Johnny, and I hate Sammy for doing this because he's a professional fighter and he shouldn't be picking on this guy. That would have given him the fan sympathy. Now he's just backstage like, wrestlers ain't nothing compared to me. Would you do that to Brock Lesnar? How about if that was Brock Lesnar? Would Johnny Knoxville say, what's Brock gonna do to me that I haven't already done? Oh, you're tougher than him then. I don't understand this. I don't understand why you allow celebrities to mock and ridicule your athletes. Any angle I ever booked with a celebrity, unless it was a celebrity that was like an MMA fighter or a championship boxer or somebody that you said, oh, well, he's huge or whatever, I would book as, yeah, I'm in way over my head. But circumstances, what am I supposed to do? That would have been the way, Mike, to get Johnny Knoxville, at least us interested in this Johnny Knoxville match. Instead, he comes out on SmackDown and literally cuts a promo like he's tougher than professional wrestlers.
That's right. And think about this. There was a time when, I'll go back to this. There's a time when there was going to be a Big Show versus, Shaquille O'Neal, which is, 2 7-foot guys, one damn near 400 pounds, and one about 330, 320, whatever Shaquille O'Neal is right now. That was going to be a good pairing because you look at Shaquille O'Neal and you say, okay, yeah, he's an athlete. He may be aged, but he's still an athlete. He can still do some pretty athletic things, even at his age, and that's the thing. What should have happened was exactly what they did with Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny came in and did this stuff, and then he said, okay, I'm going to go have somebody train me, and he chose Damian Priest, right?
Right.
Which, you know, so that's how they should have handled this thing. And that's, they didn't. And look, one other thing about WrestleMania. What was, for a long time, what was one of the big things about WrestleMania, right? It was the WrestleMania moments, right? And there was things like, WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan. Or
right.
What was it, last year, 2 years ago? Or last year when, what's her name, gets her when Bianca gets her title match against Sasha Banks, what happened? She cried, and Sasha
right.
Banks could not stay in character. She just couldn't, you know.
Right.
That was a moment. Where, what's going to be the WrestleMania moments coming out of this WrestleMania?
There isn't going to be one, Mike. That's the whole point. I got Jack from Staten Island sent me a message saying, okay, well, how would you book that match then if you don't want Johnny Knoxville to act like he can wrestle or he's tougher than a wrestler? Well, it's very simple, Jack. You don't do it that way. You don't make him sound like he's afraid necessarily. I didn't say he has to cower. But let's just say Johnny Knoxville was brought out by, I don't know, name a guy who's not doing much in the Federation. Doesn't matter. Some face. Some face says, I'm friends with Johnny Knoxville. A lower tier face brings Johnny Knoxville, and Sami Zayn picks on him because he's in a feud with this lower tier face, and says, "Ah, you guys suck. You ain't nothing. You're this. You're that. You're the other thing." Really getting under Knoxville's skin to the point where the face has to challenge him and say, "Hey, man, you picked on my friends. You made fun of my friends, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, at WrestleMania, I'll show you what's up." Then he gets injured or gets hurt. Because Sami Zayn sneak attacks him, let's say. So Sami Zayn beats the hell out of this guy, whoever the guy happens to be, in a sneak attack. And they say, well, Johnny Knoxville was supposed to be in the corner. That makes him your second. So he has to take the place of you in this match. Then if Knoxville said, I'm not, what are you kidding me? I'm not going into a match with Sami Zayn. Number one, he's a professional fighter. Number two, if a miracle happened and I did win, I don't want a belt. What am I going to do with a belt? Then they could have said, well, no, that's not the way it works. It won't be for the championship. It's just going to be a grudge match. Not that it mattered anyway. You could have had the guy in his corner. He could have said to Johnny, look, I'm going to be in your corner. I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you. You're going to have to go in there and try to survive. It's going to be hard, you know, but just listen to me and I'll try to get you through it. Then if you wanted Johnny Knoxville to look good, Sami Zayn could be picking on a guy that's clearly injured, clearly couldn't be in a match, saying, crybaby, you couldn't be in this match, huh? Oh, what happened to you? Eventually, when he tries to do something to the guy on the outside of the ring, the guy hits him, does something, and Knoxville rolls him up, schoolboys him from behind, 1, 2, 3, that's it. Knoxville runs out of there like a thief in the night. Sami Zayn says, what the hell was that? He blatantly interfered. Referee didn't see it, though, and guess what? You still got that match. You still got the match between the guy who was supposed to have the match with Sami Zayn and Sami Zayn, and now you furthered it. You furthered it by having Johnny Knoxville, who was scared for his very life, get a cheap victory, but nonetheless, a justified one. It doesn't look like he's tougher than Sami Zayn. It looks like, you know, okay, yeah, they pulled some shenanigans, but hey, so did Sami. And you still got the main match that you wanted for the next pay-per-view. That's what I would do. That's exactly what I would do. Because if Johnny Knoxville wins this match by anything other than disqualification, this is a horror show for Sami Zayn. And he's already been disrespected because a 140-pound guy, presumably has no wrestling skills, is going to go into a ring at WrestleMania with a man who was a champion. And instead of being a little bit apprehensive and a little bit worried, He's grabbing the mic saying, you ain't, I'll do what I, you're nothing. Oh, everything goes, that's up my alley. What do you mean it's up your alley? I know what they're going to do. They have all the rest of the jackass guys interfere. I get it. All the rest of the guys are going to be there. And they're all going to do something to Sami Zayn, and he's going to end up losing, and they're going to say, well, it was 5-on-1 or whatever. Oh, it's the way you wanted it. It's a dumb angle. At least the angle I had, Mike, gives you a wrestler versus a wrestler as the branch on the tree for the next thing, and it lets Knoxville out of looking like a total douche by just getting beat up. But if I book that match, I tell Knoxville, you don't get in any punches. In the beginning of the match, you come out and throw punches, throw a couple of kicks. Sammy's going to knock you off, and then he's going to maul you like an animal. You don't get in one single punch until the guy on the outside of the ring, the professional wrestler, nails Zayn with something, and you just roll him up from behind for the three count. That way, the emphasis is there was no way on God's green earth Johnny Knoxville was coming close to winning this match. He was being mauled like an animal. But hey, live by the sword, die by the sword. Sami Zayn was supposed to fight the guy on the outside of the ring and sneak attacked him, and it came back to bite him in the ass. And now Sami looks like an idiot. Good for him. That works, Mike.
It does work, but the thing is, and here's something else to think about. You were talking about you can't have this, you can't have him win the match and all that stuff. And here's another thing: Sami Zayn is what in his early to mid 30s, still in the prime of his career. Right, still in the prime of his career. Whereas you look at Johnny Knoxville, what, pushing the mid 50s now?
I would think, yeah.
Pushing his mid-50s, and they're going to do another Jackass movie, I think, and he's going to do it you're telling me he's going to do that stuff in his mid-50s, you know?
See, but the thing that bothers me, Mike, isn't even that. I'm not saying that Johnny Knoxville hasn't put his body through a lot. What I'm saying is, if I say, oh, I'm going to do this stunt where I'm going to jump off a roof into a pool of jello or something or whatever the freak it's going to be, at least you know it's coming. That's not the same thing as saying I'm being beaten up where I can't control what the guy's doing to me. That's not the same thing. A stuntman isn't a professional fighter. In that case, you'd say, well, I'm a stuntman and I've done all kinds of stunts, so therefore I should challenge Mike Tyson for a boxing match and I should be able to do fine. No. You're going to get your ass handed to you. That's what's going to happen. So this, again, it's totally illogical. Now let's get to the most illogical thing, because this is the one that really made me want to beat my head on the desk. On SmackDown, Sonya Deville and Natalya interrupt a tag team match, beat the hell out of everybody, go backstage to have Sonya Deville say, hey, I kind of like your style. I'm putting you in WrestleMania. Seth Rollins is still out of WrestleMania. Seth Rollins still doesn't have a WrestleMania opponent. So why the hell wouldn't Seth Rollins just say, well, I guess all I have to do is just go jump somebody? If you're still adding people to the WrestleMania card and you're still doing the Seth Rollins doesn't have an opponent thing, how dumb is that? I thought Seth Rollins was supposed to be this brilliant architect guy, you know? He was supposed to be a real cerebral type person. He can't figure out from watching SmackDown, oh, well, I guess if I jump somebody, I'll get added to a match. It makes my head explode because that's called not even trying. You know what that's called? If you're going to write an episode of a television show, and I said, I'm going to write half, and you're going to write half, and you don't even check what I wrote when I wrote the first half, you just say, well, I wrote the last half. I don't know what you wrote. And none of it coincides. It's going to be a lousy show because you're going to be like, well, wait a minute. I said something different, and then you went on and did this. Well, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And this is illogical, Tom. At the end of the day, if Sonya Deville and Natalya can be added to a match that easily, why would Seth Rollins be skulking around in the dressing room saying, I got no opponent?
It's absolutely ludicrous, to be honest with you. And I'm going to take you back. This is what actually pisses me off. You know, remember back then when these guys from ECW and WCW came in and they're kind of like weeding them out? You know, Jerry Lynn comes to mind. You didn't have room for Jerry Lynn. You couldn't do anything, think of anything to do with a guy like Jerry Lynn, who could, by the way, work circles around Gene Snitsky, but yet Gene Snitsky gets, you know, the green light for WrestleMania. Are you kidding me? You're going to tell me that you don't have a match somehow for Seth Rollins?
Well, look, the deal is they do. Of course they have a match for Seth Rollins, and we're going to get to who that match is. My point is the gimmick is, the storyline is, there's no match for Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins can't find an opponent. But what they don't realize in this storyline that they've written is that it doesn't make any sense because, obviously, he could find an opponent. All he basically has to do is find somebody and interfere in their match, I guess. So, of course, he could find an opponent. So that's why it's silly. The story makes no sense. I don't like it when that happens. So now we have a bunch of illogical things going on at WrestleMania. We have an illogical heel turn by Edge who has no reason and no provocation at all to turn heel. Zero. And I know, here's why I know that you didn't think this out, WWE. Because if you had given me that pitch months ago and said, you know what we're going to do at WrestleMania? We're going to have Edge call somebody out. And it's going to be AJ, and he's going to turn on AJ, and they're going to have a match at WrestleMania. I would have said, okay. Well, in that case, Edge and Beth Phoenix have to lose that match to The Miz and Maurice. So that The Miz can then say, oh, I thought my horrible attitude and my negativity and my not caring about anybody but myself was going to be my ruination, Edge. Isn't that what you said? Didn't you say if I played it straight, I had the talent and the ability to be one of the greatest wrestlers? I beat you. I think you better rethink yourself because remember what I told you. You're going to be forgotten while I'm going to be a star. And I proved it. I have nothing more to say. That way you could say, Edge is so mad and so upset and so frustrated that he really did flip and said, oh, you know what? Miz is right. He's right. I guess that's all it takes in this world. So, yeah, my time's running out. I am going to take a shortcut. I am going to be that guy. But I'm going to be way worse than The Miz ever thought of being. At least it makes sense. What he did here doesn't make any sense. He asked for an opponent. He got an opponent. And then he turns on his opponent. Well, how dare you challenge me? Dear God. I mean, the writing is so bad. Call this stupendous. This is what I'm trying to say. This WrestleMania is shaping up to be one of the poorest. Not because of the competitors. If you tell me on paper, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, Edge versus AJ Styles, Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey, I'm saying, oh, okay, this is shaping up all right. But you got to sell it. You got to give us the storylines, the drama, the reasons we really want somebody to win or lose. And we don't have that. We don't have that. Why would we really care if Baron Corbin wins or Drew McIntyre wins? Okay, we don't like Baron Corbin. Oh, he lost. Yeah, big deal. It's got to be a bigger deal. It's got to be a bigger deal. And it's a shame that it's not. Every single, and then what do you have? You have Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura going for a title? Tag team titles? I'm sorry. I don't think they're that over as a team. I just don't. The right way to have done that is break them up. And I'll tell you, if you want to put Boogs over, if you think Boogs is popular, fine. But Shinsuke Nakamura was carrying Rick Boogs when he was the champion, literally saying, well, I'm just going to be in a tag team with them because they don't have anybody for me to defend my title against. You could have at least played that off. You could have had Shinsuke turn on Rick Boogs and say, the only reason I lost the belt, I was too busy carrying your dead ass in a tag team than to concentrate on my own title. See, WrestleMania matches, even the smaller ones, are supposed to matter. Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura versus the Usos, that doesn't sound like a good match. I'm sorry. It doesn't sound like anything that I would be like, oh, I can't wait to see that. And that's a shame because it never should be that way. Now you go over to Raw, and I guarantee you whoever they have fighting RK-Bro, people are going to care because you've done a lot of storyline with them guys. You've given them an awful lot of time to flesh out their characters, to flesh out their relationships, to allow the audience to understand who they are and what they mean to one another and how they react to one another and everything else. So now the fans care because you've given them characters to care about. Nobody cares about the Viking Raiders. They're a great team. You could have people care about them, but you've chosen not to give them anything. They're so one-dimensional. See, that's the problem. All these characters are so one-dimensional that nobody relates to any of it. So, Mike, I mean, you know, when they say stupendous WrestleMania, I think they're going to fall way short of their expectations.
Right. And think about this. You go back and you watch a lot of Looney Tunes at times, and I do too. One of Daffy Duck's famous words, one of his catchwords, was stupendous, you know, and that's no joke. And so it became a running gag at times with Looney Tunes, but that's not the deal. Here's something else to think about with Raw, with a SmackDown writing. Think about this, you know, the SmackDown writing is so bad that the writing, they don't have to write much on Rampage to make it 10 times better. They don't. Think about it. They don't have to write much on Rampage. They don't have to write much on Dynamite. They don't have to write much on Power. They don't have to write much on Impact to make it better than SmackDown.
No, not if you're just going to do the comparison, because there's virtually no writing. And the writing that they do have is misplaced. Let's go to the big angle that happened on SmackDown, where Brock Lesnar takes a, I don't know what the hell kind of piece of heavy machinery it was, and literally picks up the car that the Usos and Roman Reigns is in. That's a good angle. You've done it before with Stone Cold and some other people destroying vehicles and things. Here's the deal, though. I would have been much more interested in the Roman Reigns match, and you have made almost no mistakes with Roman Reigns, one or two here and there, but you've made very few mistakes with Roman Reigns' character. You made a big one this Friday. You made a big one. Paul Heyman said, Brock Lesnar's not going to be here. His plane is grounded or whatever. And Roman Reigns said, well, that's a shame. That's a shame. Because I really wanted to see him. Then he said, oh, wait, I'm wrong. He's done it here. Roman Reigns' reaction, honest to God, should not have been, I'm getting out of here. When did Roman Reigns ever display complete and total cowardice? He didn't. And it shouldn't be his character. His character should have been like, he is. And now, I guess, you expect that I'm just going to go backstage and wait for him or something to attack me. I know what's going to happen. He's not going to come out and face me like I'm challenging him to do right now. I'm going to go backstage. He's going to show up. And when I least expect it, boom, there's going to be a problem. That's not the way it's going to work. I'm going out there right now, and I'm waiting for Brock Lesnar to hit this arena. And when he does, we'll do it backstage. With Paul Heyman saying, no, 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 don't do it. No, no, no. That would have been cool. Then you wait till damn near the end of the show and have him say, well, he's not showing. Well, then if you got in the car and Brock Lesnar did it, it would make sense. But Roman Reigns running like a scared rabbit doesn't make me want to see them fight at WrestleMania. It would have made me want to see them fight more at WrestleMania if Roman Reigns was like, good, bring it. I'm not scared of Brock Lesnar. Can't do that. Can't do that. I don't like the build-up that way because that's not what he showed before. Yes, he did have other people interfere in matches for him. He did have other people, you know, help him along the way. But he never was afraid to fight them. He just had a backup plan for fighting them. Now you're looking like he's just deathly afraid of Brock Lesnar. And that doesn't make any sense. And because it doesn't make any sense, I don't buy it. So now I'm just like, oh, they're going to make Roman Reigns the cowardly heel. I'm running away from Brock Lesnar. I would have loved it if he said, good, I'll be waiting for him when he gets here. Not in my dressing room. Not floating around where he can just attack me out of the clear blue sky. I'm waiting for him right in the parking lot when he comes in. You could have showed that through various moments in SmackDown. Here's Roman Reigns still stalking the parking lot, waiting for the Brock Lesnar to arrive. That would have been cool. Nope. And he still could have got to the smash car if that's what you wanted to do. And incidentally, a word to the wise on the production of the WWE's SmackDown. If you're going to show something like that, do not go to a commercial break. Plan your goddamn commercial break so we can see it in real time, okay? Because that's annoying. That was one of your biggest angles. You know, we'll show you after the commercial break. So I don't know, Tom. I'm not buying this thing with the, you know, Roman Reigns supposedly all of a sudden deathly afraid of Brock Lesnar. When did this happen? I don't recall Roman Reigns being that kind of a champion where he was like, yeah, he's a heel, but he wasn't afraid of anybody.
Yeah, that's honestly really silly. He shouldn't be. I mean, he wasn't afraid of him before. What changed? Because
right.
he ripped off a door for the, you know, for the vehicle and just carried it around. Yay.
Well, he was afraid of him before that.
He
ran out of the ring before he ever did that.
I just think that the match is going to definitely fall short of stupendous. I don't know about being stupendous. I think it's going to be, you know, it's Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar has been putting on some decent work lately, but I don't think it's going to be that great of a match anyway. On paper, yes, the way they're going to deliver it, it's going to fall short.
Well, you see, you made a good point, and the point of the matter is you've given this a build-up. Whether it's a good build-up or a bad build-up, it depends on your point of view, but you've given it an adequate build-up, but it's not going to deliver. The chances of it delivering is pretty slim. So when you put all your eggs in this one basket and then that match doesn't deliver, that doesn't leave you with a great feeling on how good WrestleMania is. You need to end it with a match that's going to deliver. Or at least have a match just before it, something that delivers where you're like, whoa, what a great, great match. I don't see it. Is Baron Corbin and Drew McIntyre going to be a great, great match? No. There's no way Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair is going to be a great, great match. Because Ronda Rousey is not going to be able to go 15, 20 minutes, and she's just not going to be able to do it. You could potentially say Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair could have a great, great match. We'll see. Aside from that, what, Sami Zayn going to light it up with the guy from Jackass? I don't think so. Now, Derek, in the chat room, it said, why have the match at all? I just, you know, why have the match? Well, here's the thing. I tend to agree with you, but they're always going to have some celebrity at WrestleMania. And I think if they did what I said, it would have been cool to have that match because it wasn't supposed to be a match. It would have been Sami Zayn fighting some guy for WrestleMania. And Johnny Knoxville, having been disrespected by Sami Zayn, is going to be in that guy's corner. But when that guy gets taken out, they inform Johnny Knoxville, well, you were the second. And according to our rules, the second has to take his spot. That would have really put Johnny Knoxville on the spot. And if he had acted right and said, are you kidding? I'm not going to go in there and get murdered by Sami Zayn. I'm not a fighter. I'm not going to be – I didn't think I was that kind of second. Well, you signed the contract, man. You said you were going to be the second. And according to our rules, the second has to take his spot. So, yeah, you're in. At least he would have had the sympathy of the fans. At least the fans would have said, oh, shit, he's really in it. You want to get all your jackass friends involved? That would have been great. Shoot a skit with them saying, dude, you've done some crazy-ass shit in your life. But are you going to tell me that you're going to get into a WrestleMania ring with Sami Zayn? He's a professional fighter. And Knoxville could have said, I know, I'm going to get killed. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. But I can't get out of it. It would have been a cool thing. No, you got to have him act like the tough guy. I've been through far worse than Sami Zayn. Okay, well then, Sami Zayn, we get it. Sami Zayn's an idiot. Sami Zayn's a jabron. Sami Zayn's not tough. Sami Zayn's not qualified, but he was a champion. Of course, anybody can just walk off the street and beat Sami Zayn. That's no problem. So, you know, if I'm Sami Zayn, I ain't liking this. I don't care. I know he says, well, it's high profile. Yeah, okay. It's high profile, but you look like an idiot. The way I described it, you would look like a bully. You would look like, well, I know I can kill him. And he knows I can kill him. But I'm still going to kill him. Now, as far as this Logan Paul thing, at least he's a boxer. At least he's a legit boxer, but, and he's a fairly big guy. But who do you put him in there against? If you put him in there against a guy who is just like a brawler, well, you say, well, this guy's not got really much skill either. All they really do is punch and kick. Okay, well, then Logan Paul should have a chance. If all you do is punch and kick, then Logan Paul, maybe he's a boxer, has a puncher's chance, right? No, you put him in there against Rey friggin' Mysterio, whose high-flying ability is exactly what the problem is with people who are punchers and strikers. You can't catch him. He's not going to stay still and fight you. So that doesn't make any sense at all. At all. And then you give away the ending by having The Miz say, oh, I'm not too fond of Ohio for WrestleMania. You know, it's kind of a low-class place. I don't even live here anymore. And having Logan Paul basically say, well, what the hell are you talking about? And then getting on commentary and saying the same thing. Well, we have a disagreement about that, but... yeah, and it's going to lead to you guys having a falling out at WrestleMania. I get it. Why don't you just give me the script on your website and say you don't have to watch the show. We're just going to flat out give you the script. You can't make these things any more obvious. And then you complain, if it wasn't for social media and spoilers, wrestling would be more fun. No, wrestling would be more fun if you tried harder to swerve us to what the ending might be instead of blatantly waving it in our faces. But they don't care. Todd, it's to the point now where WrestleMania doesn't...
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about WrestleMania, we've been saying this for a while now. Like we said, for a while. It's been going down the crapper. It's terrible.
It's not what it should be. It's not what it should be at all. I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm not saying that some of these matches won't be good. I'm just saying if you are going to have WrestleMania, I consider WrestleMania like the grand finale of a television season. okay? If you're watching Game of Thrones, if you're watching Arrow, if you're watching any of these, you know, dramas, you know that the last episode of the season is going to be like, oh, I can't miss it. This is where a lot of the plot lines wrap up, and everything I've been waiting to see is going to happen. That doesn't feel like WrestleMania this year. That's what WrestleMania used to feel like. And then if this is not bad enough, you got, and, you know, I'm not picking on AEW, but AEW's Tony Khan and Jim Ross and those people, they need to shut their mouth. Just shut your mouth. I know. I get it. You're jealous of WrestleMania. I get it. Because while you have all the fans saying, AEW is better, AEW is better, AEW is better, the ratings do not show that. So you guys are tearing your hair out over there saying, how come we're better and not that many people are watching us? Well, how about you shut up? You got Jim Ross saying, oh, I talked to Stone Cold Steve Austin. He said he's not doing a match, and he said he's not really excited about WrestleMania, and he said he doesn't really want to do the blah, blah, blah. Shut up. Then you're going to get on your high horse and say, oh, well, the dirt sheets reveal everything. Who asked you? Who asked you to get on the air and reveal that you're a good friend of Stone Cold Steve Austin? He told you he doesn't want to do WrestleMania and he's not in shape to do a match and he's not going to do too much and blah, 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 and try to spoil it. That's what you tried to do, Jim Ross. You tried to spoil a spot at WrestleMania. And if you were really friends with Stone Cold Steve Austin, you wouldn't have tried to spoil his spot. But you did. Because you're so damn worried. Oh, my God, Stone Cold might come back and do something. Oh, my God, it might make WrestleMania special. Let me spoil it. How about you guys just do you? How about you do that? You do you and forget trying to spoil what the WWE is. You're basically Eric Bischoff revealing the end of matches. You know, the one you used to make fun of. And say, Eric Bischoff was so damn desperate, he'd get on television and say, oh, the match is going to be that big match tonight on Raw. You don't have to watch it because I'll tell you who's going to win. Well, though, JR, you did the same thing, my friend. How dare you tell the wrestling fans, Stone Cold's not going to do anything much at WrestleMania. He's not really psyched about it. How dare you say that? Really left a bad taste in my mouth, Tom. I mean, that's just trying to hijack somebody else's spot.
And, you know, yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. That's the same thing as Eric Bischoff giving away the endings for Raw when they were pre-recorded. You want to know why Jim Ross is blacklisted from the WWE and they don't want to work with him? That's the reason. Because he opened his big mouth and said, I talked to Stone Cold Steve Austin. So what? You talked to Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now what you're basically doing is you're trying desperately to turn the fans away from watching WrestleMania, and because Steve Austin's on it. It's a reason why they're selling tickets, honestly, and why people are going to watch, because Steve Austin's going to make an appearance. And you're like, oh, watch AEW. I talked to Steve Austin. He's not really excited. I don't want to hear that from you, and neither do the fans. Like, shut up and do AEW. Forget about the WWE. Zeta, you know.
Right, and if you were friends with Stone Cold Steve Austin, you would say, I work for another company, so far be it from me to plug anybody. Stone Cold Steve Austin showing up at WrestleMania is going to be a big deal. Now, I listened to Dutch Mantel. And Dutch Mantel said the following. He said Stone Cold does not need to do a match. Stone Cold Steve Austin showing up in Texas, taking that microphone, yelling at KO for a minute or two, back and forth, and then giving him a stunner, is going to blow the roof off the building. It's going to be one of the biggest WrestleMania moments in history. And he doesn't have to do a match. He's probably right about that. And the WWE's counting on that because listen to this. They're not ending night one with Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. They're ending it with the KO show. So they think Stone Cold's appearance is going to mean more than a championship match. And that's why JR tried to ruin it by saying, he's not going to do a match. You'll notice that Steve Austin didn't say that. When Steve Austin did his promo, he said, whatever it happens to be, whether it's a talk show, it's a match, it's a brawl, it's whatever it is, I'm coming there. He left it open for fans so fans would say, ooh, Stone Cold didn't rule out anything. He said he's up for anything. Who knows what's going to happen? Well, JR knows what's going to happen, and JR spills the beans. And then has the nerve to complain about other people who post spoilers online. It's unbelievable, Mike. It's just unbelievable.
Right, and think about this. When Eric Bischoff was doing that the first few weeks of the streak, right, the 83-week streak, the streak didn't really start until he stopped spoiling Raw. It didn't really start. I mean, it took off after that because people figured out that, well, you know, he stopped it and all that stuff. So, yeah, and one other thing we have to mention about SmackDown, I like what they're doing with Kofi Kingston. And I can see where this is going. You got Sheamus and his group, including Butch, which
yep.
I think a Kofi Kingston Pete Dunne match would be an excellent match.
Yes.
You know, but we can see where this is going because we know that one, Big E's injury doesn't seem to be that serious, and two, Xavier's coming back. All right, and I can see where this is going. This is going to be a series of six-man matches between Sheamus and his group in the New Day.
Well, that's what they wanted, but unfortunately Big E's injury is relatively serious. It's not career-ending, but you're not going to see Big E for 6 months, maybe more. So, yeah, that's not going to happen right away. That was supposed to be a WrestleMania match. And now they don't know whether it's just going to be they're going to do one-on-one or two-on-two. They don't know what they're going to do yet. They haven't figured it out. Let me say this about the match on SmackDown between Ridge Holland and Kofi Kingston. This commentary that the commentators were told to say this, by the way, it's not their fault, shows you the difference between what I consider good wrestling and what is acceptable nowadays. These commentators literally said Ridge Holland was very upset about what happened to Big E. He said, I have nothing but respect for Big E. He visited him in the hospital. He wishes him well. He was very distraught about it. I'm sure that's the truth. I'm sure that's the truth. Your job is to not tell the truth. Ridge Holland's job and your job, if you weren't sissified by this new fan base, that, oh, everything's got to be so politically correct. Ridge Holland's job was to say, well, one down, two to go. Whose neck do I break next? He should have came out wearing a T-shirt saying, I broke Big E's neck. You want some heat? There's your heat. You want some heat, you have Sheamus say, hey, can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Big E's such a tough guy, he don't look too tough now, does he? I'll unleash Ridge Holland on everybody here. There'll be nothing but stretchers and broken necks when we're done. And if Big E ever sticks his nose back in to it, we'll break his neck all over again. Let me explain something to you. Before wrestling was even really popular, oh, they might sell out Madison Square Garden once in a blue moon, or maybe even often. Stan Hansen legit broke Bruno Sammartino's neck. And Stan Hansen did nothing but brag about it for a year. And when Bruno came back, guess where they had to have that match? Madison Square Garden wasn't big enough. They held that match at Shea Stadium in New York. Because so many people said, I can't wait to see Stan Hansen get what's coming to him. Because Stan Hansen, who I'm sure was very upset about hurting Bruno Sammartino in real life, chose to use it. Instead, the WWE announcers ordered, I'm sure, by Vince McMahon and company, literally said Ridge Holland was very upset. He respects Big E. How do you get heat? How do you get heat if that's what you said? That would be one thing if it was a face faction. It would be one thing if Big E broke Holland's neck for Big E to say, I feel terrible about it. Ridge Holland should have came out with a shirt that said, I broke Big E's neck. And should have told Kofi Kingston, you're next. The way wrestling works. And if I'm Big E and I'm laying in that hospital bed, I'm telling Ridge Holland to do that. Go get your heat, man. Because when I do come back, oh, man, we're going to do some business, you and me. Fans will be chomping at the bit to see it. I don't understand, Mike. Wrestling's become so sissified, you can't do anything.
And that's right. And think about this. You could have had what's his name, Butch get in on this thing, because we know what Butch is supposed, well, Pete Dunne, let's call him what he is. He's Pete Dunne, but they call him Butch now. I mean, Pete Dunne likes to do that whole thing with the hand and the fingers and breaking the fingers and stuff like that. Hell, have him break Kofi's fingers, kayfabe, you know?
Yeah, listen, they should have been in their glory. If you want some heat for this team, that's the way you get it. And Kofi Kingston being so upset that they're mocking his friend being injured that he's trying his best to beat Ridge Holland, but he didn't. And then you get the idea of, okay, these guys are going to be a serious heel faction. And they've isolated one of the New Day. And then when Xavier comes back, at least you could say it's going to be Kofi and Xavier against maybe Ridge Holland and maybe Butch. Leave Sheamus out. Make Sheamus the manager. I'd be good with that. But when you literally say, Tom, on live television, Ridge Holland felt very badly about what happened. He went and visited Big E in the hospital. He says he had nothing but respect for him, wishes him the best. He was quite distraught about the fact. You've just thrown this man's heat in the garbage can.
Yeah, and, you know, we were discussing this, the other day, Mark, is if you're going to do, let's play devil's advocate for a second. Even if you're going to say Ridge Holland felt horrible about injuring him, at least have him come out and said, you know, I feel really bad about injuring his neck. So there. And then
right.
The other shirt that says that.
Truthfully, you could have done just pretty much like that, Tom. I probably would have booked that. I probably would have actually booked him to come out and say, you know, what happened was a horrible incident. And I have to apologize. You know, I absolutely have to apologize because that was not my intention. My intention was completely and put him completely out of wrestling for the rest of his life. But apparently I didn't do my job because I see a video of him saying, I can move my fingers and I don't need surgery. I've only dislocated or cracked vertebrae. And my intention was to break him in half. So I'm apologizing. I apologize to Sheamus. I apologize to Butch. I apologize to all the fans who apparently are going to have to put up with him when he comes back. But he better know this. When he does come back, I'll be waiting for him to finish the job. How is that not good wrestling? I don't understand why you have to placate these wimpy fans who say, he better apologize or I'm never going to watch the show again. What's wrong with you people? You're not wrestling fans. You don't even understand wrestling. If you don't think that that's a good idea, and I don't care if you've been wrestling for 20 years or you just turned the TV on last week to watch it for the first time, if you don't think that that's a good idea, there's something wrong with you. If you don't think that's a good idea, you don't understand wrestling. Because that is the only way to handle this injury. You make the best out of a horrible situation. Simple as that. You make the best out of a horrible situation. Now, I know it's going to get spread around that Ridge Holland really went to the hospital and talked to Big E and everything. That's fine. That's real life. But on the show, you can't have that. On the show, you can't have real life blending in that way because you've taken away all of Ridge Holland's heat. I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to placate the fans who said, oh, he's not safe. I don't want to see him anymore. But wouldn't that have been a better gimmick to just say, I'm not trying to be safe. I didn't come out here to make friends or protect anybody's neck. I don't understand, Todd. It seems like fans don't want what makes wrestling good.
Yeah, it's really right there. Like you said, people get offended just like that. It's wrestling. Come on, people. You don't like it, change the channel. That's my saying.
Yeah, I mean, Ridge Holland didn't set out to hurt anybody. Okay, he screwed up the move and he hurt him. You might as well use it. It's there anyway. Big E is hurt, and he's not going to get less hurt by Ridge Holland saying, I'm sorry. So Ridge Holland can do his apologies in private, and on television, he's got to be bragging it up. Just another ridiculous, unforced error by the WWE. You had something here. You know how much I would have used this? By now, you have to have talked to doctors and found out, can Big E wrestle again once this is healed? And if the majority of them say yeah, which I believe to be the case, if the majority of them said, yeah, you know, 6-8 months maybe, but, yeah, he should be able to wrestle. Okay. Well, then we're going to do an 8-month build. We are going to literally show Big E in rehab. We are going to show him in the hospital. We are going to take cameras to his house. We're going to do whatever the hell we have to do. On the show, we're going to just start it up with the New Day, the remaining guys of the New Day. But we're also going to show Big E rehabbing, doing everything he can, saying Ridge Holland did this to me on purpose. It would have been one thing if it was an accident and he apologized, but he's out here wearing I Broke Big E's Neck shirts and selling neck braces that say Ridge Holland and all kinds of other things on them. So when I get back, it's going to be an eye for an eye. Listen, you don't have Ridge Holland lose many matches, I'll tell you that. You have Ridge Holland go on a tear. And you'll have something. When Big E does come back, you'll have something important that fans will care about. You had something. Right now, you know that the fans care about Big E. Look at the outpouring that happened. So you have a legitimate situation in which fans are legitimately caring. Now use it. That's what you used to do. I just told you about the Bruno and the Stan Hansen thing. Use it to your advantage. And you would have had something. Instead, you threw it all out the window, Mike, and I just don't know why they do these things.
Think about this. We know – I'm going to use another couple of wrestlers as an example. We know what happened with Madcap Moss when – I believe it was Drew McIntyre did that move that had Moss land on the top of his head. Remember that?
Yep.
And we all said, well – how the hell did Madcap Moss survive that? How was his neck not broken? And because of that move, because of that thing, it's getting to the point of, yeah, what's his name is a heel, and Corbin is a heel, and we know he's a heel, but it's getting to the point of where Madcap Moss, despite his bad jokes, his horrible jokes, is getting almost a face reaction from the crowd just because of that one thing, that one move, you know?
Yeah, and if you'll notice, he's telling jokes that are like anti-Corbin, right? He's not making fun of McIntyre. So, yeah, they ran with that, exactly, because people were like, hey, he's a tough guy. Now, I'm not for – there are other fans saying, ban that move. What are you going to do? You're going to ban every move? Is that what you want? There'll be no professional wrestling. Any move could potentially injure you if you don't do it right. a kick to the face, anything. Super kick, man, the super kick. What happens if you kick him in the throat and it crushes their trachea? What happens if you miss and crush their trachea? They're going to die. Ban the super kick. You can't do it. Wrestling is a risky business. People know that when they get into it. So every time somebody gets hurt, it's ban that move, ban this move. Ban... Sick of it. I don't even recognize some fans anymore. It's like, I don't know what you want to see. I'm not sure what you want. What made the wrestling business so beautiful was that the same person that you injured, even though they were your friend, the same person that you injured and felt horrible about doing it, you could literally get heat off of, help your own career, help his career too when he comes back, and 99% of the time he'd take the same exact move from you again because he knew the chances of you doing it wrong twice were infinitesimal. That's what made wrestling great. Now I'm going to tell you, you want a standing ovation from me. If Big E, God willing he does, gets back in that ring and fights Ridge Holland, who is hopefully still with the company at the time, and he takes that move again from Ridge Holland, I will stand up and applaud. Because basically that is Big E saying, I am not afraid. That's Ridge Holland saying, I'm not afraid. That's them saying, we can play on that move. And that's them saying, I trust you and I trust myself. That would be the best thing that could happen. Not ban it, Tom. Banning it, you might as well ban all of wrestling.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, let's play a little game of how, you know, a certain somebody did a move that they've done 100 times before, and rolled on their neck. And what did they do for a good year? To play? It was a legit injury, but. What did that federation do for a good year to build up that person coming back? What did it do for the person who hurt them?
What you've got to factor in. That's what this business is. Becky Lynch had it right. When Nia Jax literally punched her right in the face, which to this day, a move going wrong is one thing. Punching somebody dead in the face, I just don't know how that happens. I don't know how you miss that. But that's what happened. Busted her nose wide open. Becky Lynch used that. I'm sure Becky Lynch, that hurt. I'm sure Becky Lynch was in pain. I'm sure Becky Lynch was thinking, oh, my God, she's broken my nose, and how's that going to affect my looks, and it's going to affect my wrestling and whatever. But she left there with a smile on her face and bloody, almost like she was reveling in it, because the last thing that fans saw was, look at Becky Lynch, covered in blood, her nose is obviously broke, and she's smiling about it. That's one tough, brawling son of a gun, right? She used it, and that's what you're supposed to do. And to her credit, Nia Jax never said, I feel terrible. I feel terrible. I have nothing but respect for Becky Lynch. Nia Jax knew she screwed up. And what'd she say? If she steps back in the ring again, I'll break her nose again. That was the right thing to say. And it did boost both of their careers for at least a short period of time, Todd, because everybody was looking forward to that match.
Oh, absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said, that when Nia Jax straight out Becky Lynch in the face, it was, I would have turned that injury to a storyline injury storyline, and turn that in like
of course you do. Now we got people saying, oh, and what happens if Big E got paralyzed? You're going to use that as an angle? No, that's not what I'm saying. I don't know why people are trying to put words in my mouth. If something tragic happened, in which Big E was paralyzed or killed, of course you don't use it as an angle, because then real life supersedes it. Then you say this was a horrible, tragic accident. But when you know he's going to be okay, there's nothing left to do but use it. So when they come back and they fight, what's supposed to happen? How is Big E supposed to be super mad? If they do have another match and Big E comes back and they said, well, Ridge Holland went to the hospital, apologized, said he feels terrible, said he did nothing but respect Big E, then if Big E comes out and does anything but shakes his hand and says, look, you know, things happen, Big E looks like the bastard. What do you want Ridge Holland to do? He did everything he's supposed to. He went to the hospital, said I'm sorry, did everything, you know. You can't have that, Mike. I don't know why they did this.
Right, and think about this. I believe it was Khan that was mentioning, was referring to the whole Steve Austin, Owen Hart deal. Mm-hmm. When Owen Hart dropped Steve Austin, he basically messed up the move, right? What essentially was the Tombstone Piledriver, he basically messed the move up, right? He had his head behind underneath his legs, and he shouldn't have had it that way. He did it wrong, in other words, which ended up in Stone Cold Steve Austin's neck being basically broken. You know, Steve Austin came back, and to my recollection, he still worked a couple of matches with Owen Hart before Owen eventually, you know, had that tragedy happen to him. But he basically worked a couple of matches with Owen Hart, several matches with Owen Hart. You know, that's showing Owen Hart respect. That was showing Owen Hart respect. Yeah, it was an accident. Well, it was an accident that Owen Hart messed the move up. You know, it was one of those things. You know, but Steve Austin didn't fault him. It's just something that could have happened to anybody, you know? And that's the thing.
No, you're absolutely right. Let me tell you a story that probably you won't hear on any other wrestling show. Because everyone missed this, I think. It was many years ago, but I remember it. Edge's first match that I recall in the WWE was against a guy that was in a team called Los Barriquas. And he legitimately screwed up a move and hurt the guy from Los Barriquas. And the rub that I heard was that the minute this happened, the dressing room said he's on safe, because it was such a easy move to not put any pressure on or do the wrong way, and he did. And he's hurt this guy. And as a protest, a lot of people said, I'm not working with him. That legitimately could have been the end of Edge's career. Legitimately could have been. And one of the first people, whether you like him or you hate him, to say, I'll work with him, I think it was just a total, you know, got too excited accident, was Mark Mero. And if he hadn't have done that, there were some people in the dressing room saying, you know, we're not too thrilled with this new guy coming over here and injuring somebody in his first match. Well, now we got this situation with Ridge Holland, who's fairly new to the WWE, and he's caused a serious injury. Nowhere's near as minor as what Edge caused. So there probably were some people in the dressing room thinking the same thing. Is, well, I don't know if I want to work with him. Kofi Kingston. And I hadn't heard Big E put any blame on him. Now, Dutch Mantel said about 75 to 80% Ridge Holland's fault. 20% Big E's fault. I respectfully disagree with Dutch Mantel. I watched it. I don't know if Mantel watched it. Because he's saying, well, the part that would be Big E's fault is if he didn't launch himself correctly. He had no opportunity to launch himself correctly. His feet were not on the ground. He has absolutely nothing to bounce off of to give himself any momentum to carry himself over. His feet were not on the ground. You got to set them back down. If your initial jerk doesn't get him up there and you got to do it a second time, you got to set him down enough to get his feet on the ground so he can push off the ground to get some momentum. Ridge Holland never did that because Ridge Holland thought, I'm strong enough to transfer Biggie's weight, and he wasn't. Now, had that been Kofi Kingston would have, you know, been fine. Ridge Holland could have threw him around like a paper doll. But Big E's a huge dude, man, and he just overestimated his strength. That's how a lot of wrestling injuries happen. You say, well, I can push around 500 pounds in the gym. Yeah, but you're not tired. Yeah, but you're not winded. Yeah, but your strength isn't worn down from 6 minutes of wrestling. Weaker and weaker and weaker as it goes on, obviously. And then the transference of a lot of weight becomes a problem. That's why there's really safe ways to do this. Ridge Holland should have made sure Big E's feet hit the ground again. And he never did. So I think it's 100% Ridge Holland's fault. But I still think Ridge Holland, should use it. Now, if he injures anybody else for real, then something's got to give. You can't have this. But this could be the only person he ever injures in his career ever. I watched Seth Rollins, who's considered one of the safest wrestlers in the world, not only injure Finn Balor, but he damn near destroyed John Cena's nose. And the John Cena's nose thing, the Finn Balor thing, I said was mostly Finn Balor's fault. But the John Cena thing was inexplicable. It was just a brain fart. You don't push somebody's head down when you're lifting your knee up. How do you fake that? You can't. It's just the opposite. You throw their head back at the moment your knee comes up. You hold their head down. When you're lifting your knee up, you kind of throw their head back so that you don't make big contact. He did the exact opposite. He couldn't have done it better if he did it on purpose. And I'm not suggesting he did it on purpose. It was just a brain fart. But John Cena didn't go nutso and say he's unsafe and he should never do that move again. You got to calm down with this, but you also got to use it. So what have we got for WrestleMania here, folks? Well, it's not stupendous. Do you consider Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs against the Usos stupendous? I don't. Do you consider Drew McIntyre against Corbin stupendous? I don't. Johnny Knoxville against Sami Zayn stupendous? I don't. The Miz and Logan Paul against Rey and Dominic Mysterio? I don't. I'm sure we'll get Finn Balor against Damian Priest again, but I don't consider that stupendous either. Those guys have zero chemistry together. They do not work well together. I didn't think they worked particularly well together the one or two times they were in NXT, but they work way worse now. So I don't know what you're hanging your hat on the stupendous. It may be a little bit stupendous that Steve Austin's coming back, but this goes to show you something. When you have to rely on a guy who hasn't been seen on WWE television for, I don't know, 5 years or so, and hasn't wrestled in forever, to make your federation stupendous, to make WrestleMania important, you have to look in the mirror and ask yourself a question. Where are my next Steve Austins? 10 years from now, who's going to come back to make WrestleMania stupendous? Who in this current breed is my next Rock? Who's my next Steve Austin? Who's my next Undertaker? Who's my next Triple H? Who's my next Shawn Michaels? You don't have one. And that's why you have to keep coming back to 50-somethings and 60-somethings in order to be stupendous. And, Mike, that does not bode well for what the future holds for WWE.
Right, and think about this. At one point, they were talking about the Undertaker coming back, and the Undertaker, basically said, I'm done, you know. And so that's another guy. Look, think about it. Triple H is coming off of his heart problems, which they say is fixed, but we'll see, you know. We got rid of guys we got rid of younger guys, you know, that could have helped them out, and it could have been the next guy up, you know, in terms of, you know, people like, well, we can go down the list of who they gotten rid of, and including the former Zack Ryder, who's basically remade himself into a world championship when he was basically a world champion when he was basically sitting at catering, you know, in the WWE. So, yeah, you know.
It's going to be very tough. It's going to be very tough for the WWE in the coming years because I'm looking at their roster and I'm saying to myself, you have legit stars. AJ Styles is a star. Edge is a star. Certainly, Kevin Owens is a star. Seth Rollins is a star. Roman Reigns is a star. But they're guys in their late 30s. Some of them early 40s. Who is your stars that you say, this is my next Steve Austin? Who's your next Rock? You don't have one. Quality wrestlers, but you don't have a star. You know, Vince McMahon is famous for saying, we're not professional wrestlers. We're WWE superstars. Who's your superstar? Who's the guy that's going to sell out Madison Square Garden just because he's there? You might argue Roman Reigns. You might argue Brock Lesnar. Aside from that, that's it. AJ Styles is my favorite wrestler, and he's a great wrestler. He's not selling out Madison Square Garden just because he's there. Neither is Kevin Owens. Neither, a lot of these guys aren't. Seth Rollins isn't. You don't have those draws anymore. In their heyday, all you had to say is Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to be at and the building is sold out. The Rock is going to be at and the building is sold out. Put them both together and forget it. The building is sold out in 5 minutes and people are hawking tickets online. You don't have that now. And here's the thing, I guess, that bothers me the most. An awful lot of people gave their time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears to make WrestleMania great. And when you say this is the greatest WrestleMania of all time before it even happened, you're kind of spitting in their eye. You're kind of saying, eh, what you did is nothing compared to this. And I'm looking at this card and I'm saying, you have to be kidding me. You're not approaching anywhere near the greatest WrestleMania of all time. Not even approaching it nearly. And you just saying it is does not make it so. And I think it undermines, Tom, to a degree, some of the great WrestleMania matches that really were stupendous matches or really were stupendous WrestleManias.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and again, here's the thing. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The WWE does not have to sell their WrestleMania. It basically sells itself for the advent of the network, and they're not selling the matches like they were years and years ago, like the Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, God rest his soul, ladder match, the first ever at WrestleMania. How long did they build that up? And it sold WrestleMania. That WrestleMania match stole WrestleMania 10. Forget about the main event. This WrestleMania and the ones prior to this for the last, I'd say, 10 years or so, they have not had to sell them. And it's a shame because this is the end of the season, if you will, where these are the final matches of being built up for the year. That's what they really should do, is sell their matches more to make them more appealing. These matches...
Well, you're absolutely right. They don't have to sell WrestleMania, and that is a big problem. They don't have to sell any of their pay-per-views anymore, and that is a huge problem. And that, you've hit the nail on the head of why they don't try as hard as they used to, because it's not necessary. And you already subscribed to get the WWE Network. Why would you not watch it? You already got it. It's basically an add-on for you, so of course you're going to watch it. You're going to watch it if it's three matches and you know, no big deal, right? Of course you'd watch it. What's the alternative if you're a wrestling fan? I have this network. I bought it specifically for the WWE network. And I'm not going to watch WrestleMania? Of course you are. And they know you are. And that is precisely why they aren't trying as hard. Before, when they had to get you to pay your $65 or whatever the hell it was, they knew, man, oh, man, we better. We got to make them reach in their pockets. They don't have to make you reach in your pocket no more. It's there for 10 bucks and you get everything, you know. So they don't have to make you reach in your pocket specifically for this event. And as soon as that happened, Mike, that's when the WWE realized we don't have to try as hard because we already have a built-in audience and we don't need to get them to reach in their pockets anymore.
Right. And that's why we say about AEW that we're willing to overlook some mistakes they made because they still have to sell their pay-per-views and they're trying hard at it, you know? And look, I'll say this also. The Miz, they didn't forget about not having the next Steve Austin or Edge. They don't even have the next Miz on the roster. The Miz is a star. All right.
Yeah, I agree with you. They don't even have that. I mean, the closest they're going to have, if you tell me who's their blue chipper, you think it's going to be Damian Priest. It's not Damian Priest. It's not Ridge Holland. It's not any – maybe Austin Theory. If Austin Theory's handled right, it's a possibility. But you see what ends up happening with the WWE is they'll start handling somebody right. Like, look at the what were they called? Los Lotharios. For a while, it was like, oh, they're making them a great team. Hell, they went 50-50 with the New Day, right? Now they're jabrons. Ah, we gave it a shot. Screw it. You guys just count the ring lights every week. Okay, well, then I don't know. You had somebody in Garza who could have been, in my opinion, you know, maybe not quite as good as, but close to the next Eddie Guerrero. He was a guy who had enough charm and enough whatever to be that bad guy that people sort of liked, that took the little shortcuts and said, you know, the charming heel, so to speak. He had that. And he's very good at crowd participation and stuff and getting the crowd ramped up. You saw nothing in him. You didn't give him any chance at all, really. And now he's in the jabron tag team. You got a guy like Shinsuke Nakamura, who's nothing short of a legend, really. And you got him in a tag team with Rick Boots. That's the best you can come up with. So you're not really even trying to use your older superstars, much less build your new ones. And a lot of this does have to do with they no longer have to make you reach in your pocket. You know, I once had somebody say to me, because I'm not a big Grateful Dead fan. I'm not a fan of, like, the hippie culture music much. But then, man, my God, they would sell out 50,000 people when they were at an event. And I would say, are they that popular? Is there that many people into them? And I had so many people say to me, yeah, but, you know, you don't go to a Grateful Dead concert necessarily because of the music. It's an event. There's all kinds of people there, and they're going to be smoking all day long, and there's going to be parties, and there's going to be this and that. And I'm like, I get it. It's a happening. It's almost irrelevant. Yeah, Grateful Dead's there. That's great, but it's more of a happening. Well, that's what WrestleMania's become. It doesn't even matter who's wrestling now. It's like, well, but it's WrestleMania. It's a happening. Well, I don't like those type of things. I like when you want to go because you want to see what's happening, not just because it's an event. Vince McMahon once famously said, I will sell out WrestleMania before I announce one match. All we have to do is say, WrestleMania is at such and such, and the tickets are such and such. And without one match being named, we will sell out. Well, guess what, Vince? You're not sold out. You're 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, and you are not sold out. So you're wrong. People have had enough of this. People are not going to spend that kind of money and travel and everything else to come and see a subpar card. They're not going to do it anymore. Not when they can sit home and watch that subpar card. See, that's the thing. You got to give them a reason other than it's WrestleMania. It's stupendous. You got to give them more of a reason to be there live and say, I have to see this live on my own. It's like a baseball game. If the Mets are in last place, I don't really have much incentive to say, well, I'll go out to the stadium. You know, if I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. No big deal. But I got news. If they're in the playoffs and the game matters, boy, would I love to be there live, right? I want to be there when they clinch because it's a happening. WrestleMania is supposed to be that. Mike, I don't see it being that anymore, and it's kind of sad because it always was.
It's kind of sad because it always was, and that's the thing. And look, if WrestleMania is not that, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because everything being big is based on the fact that WrestleMania has always been huge, you know? I mean, how many times have we been excited over the past few years for a Royal Rumble or for a, SummerSlam? You know, that's the thing. It's WrestleMania trickles down to the rest of their used to trickle down to the rest of their pay-per-views.
You're absolutely correct. I feel like in some ways it's the end of an era, Todd, as if we are now shouldn't expect too much from WrestleMania anymore.
I absolutely, yeah, like you said, we're probably not going to expect too much this year of WrestleMania.
I don't think we've been expecting much for the last couple of years. I just think maybe it's time to realize that the era of WrestleMania being a show that you cannot miss, the end of the season of your favorite show, or Game 7 of the World Series, or the Super Bowl. Those days are over. It's a show. It's just another show. It's a show with maybe one or two high marquee matches, but it's not the cream of the crop going against the cream of the crop anymore. It's a couple of good matches, and what do we do with the leftovers? It's not good enough. I hope it gets back to the days when it really was WrestleMania. Right now, folks, I don't know if it's really stupendous. I think it's just one more show. Thanks for listening. Talk to you on Tuesday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.